It is good to be with you again on this lovely Sunday. All is well. Think about that statement, all is well. Nothing is the way that you think it is. There is no thing in this universe that is what you believe it is. Everything is something else. Nothing is ever the same or appears to be the same. The only thing that appears to be the same and doesn't change are your thoughts. Most of us have a mindset, and it is very difficult for us to change this. This is the only thing that keeps us from seeing reality. As long as your mind is set, it is in accordance with the universe and the world, and you see things as they appear to be, but not as they are. You look out the window, you see a beautiful tree and a beautiful sky, woods, a lake. That sounds great. You look in the other direction, you see rioting, imagine humanity's a man. Destruction, earthquakes. How do you reconcile this? Look at your own personal life. You have good times and bad times. And from this, you know what you want to experience. You want to experience the good times, not the bad times. Yet what you fail to understand is where there are bad times, there are good times, and there are good times, there are bad times. You cannot have one. You can never have one. And a good illustration of this is the story of the two frogs. Once there were two frogs that inadvertently jumped into a vat of milk. There was a fat frog and a skinny frog, and they couldn't get out. They were swimming around, the sides were slippery, and the fat frog said to the skinny frog, "Brother frog, there's no use in paddling any longer. We're going to drown, so I might as well give up." The skinny frog said, "Hold on, brother. Keep paddling. Somebody will get us out." They paddled for hours. Again, the fat frog said, "Brother frog, I'm becoming very tired now. I'm going to just let go and drown. There's no way that anybody can ever get us out of here. It's Sunday, nobody's working. We're doomed. There's no possible way we can ever get out of here." And the skinny frog said, "Keep trying. Keep paddling. Something will happen. Keep paddling." Another couple of hours passed. And the fat frog said, "I can't go on any longer. There's no sense in doing it because we're going to drown anyway. What's the use?" And he let go and gave up. and drowned in the milk. But the skinny frog kept on paddling. 10 minutes later, it felt something solid beneath its feet. It had churned the milk into butter and hopped out of the vat. So it is with us. We go through so many experiences in life. We think there's no way out. We believe we're human and we're caught in Maya. We've got to go through certain experiences and suffer and be happy and do all kinds of things. But when I share the truth with you, that there is no Maya, there's no universe, nothing is the way it appears. It is only your mind that creates these conditions, and your mind doesn't exist. You don't believe me. You want to talk about karma and reincarnation. You want to get into all kinds of facets of the universe. You want to hear eloquent lectures about how we're going to be saved. Yet there's no one to save. For no one ever existed. Yet you do feel human, don't you? You do go through experiences, don't you? If you would only learn to sit still, to be quiet, to stop reacting to the universe, to the world, to the situations, to life. We give everything a name, that's the problem. We say this is cancer, this is poverty, this is an earthquake, this is $1 million, this is a new home, this is a new car. This is a war. This is a dog. This is a cat. We have names for everything. What if we forgot about those names? And we stopped seeing things as something? What if we just observe things, watch things, without giving them a name, without coming to a conclusion? What do you think would happen? You would transcend everything. Whatever you're no longer attached to gives way. Whatever you're no longer holding on to, no longer holds on to you. And as you let go of your opinions towards person, place, and thing, you find that you're growing, you're evolving. You're beginning to become something that is ineffable, something that cannot be explained, something that is so wonderful. You never dreamed something like this existed. Yet it does. Why do you appear to have a body if you don't have one? Why do you appear to be playing these games if they're not real? The answer is you're not playing any games. And there's nobody doing anything. This is something difficult for most people to comprehend. Nothing at all is happening. But I move, I swim, I play golf, I go to work, I watch television, I'm doing all of these things. These things appear to be happening. You have to remember the question, to whom is it happening? who's experiencing this? And of course we remember it's the ego that's experiencing this. But then you remember again, you have no ego, there is no ego. And the ego never existed. If it did, where did it come from? Who's its creator? Whatever you believe in, there has to be a creator to have created this. If you believe you're human, something created you. You say your parents created you, you go back in time, who created them and who created them. You go back to the very beginning. Everything you believe in, there has to be a cause. Yet when I tell you there's no cause, therefore there cannot be an effect, you think I'm crazy, and I am. Who wants to be sane? To be sane means you conform to society and the things that are happening in the world. You think alike. I can assure you, nothing exists. And I can assure you, when you think about nothing, the nothing you're thinking about does also not exist. Once you think about nothing, you spoil it, because it becomes something. Always remember, the idea is to stop thinking completely. Let them function mentally at all. Yet some of you still believe if you stop functioning mentally, you would become a vegetable. You wouldn't be able to function. This is not true. What you were will not function, but what you become will function very well. You will always appear to function. Yet there's no functioner. You are not what you seem to be. No matter how many times I tell you this, you're still thinking, judging, coming to conclusions, trying to work out your life. You have to let go. Totally, absolutely, completely. You have to let go so completely that you will feel no body, no mind, no pain, nothing. That is the only time you will make progress. Do not think about this. The source cannot help you. There are no sources that can help you realize the self. It is only a total, completely letting go. Giving up. What do you give up? You give up the ego, the mind, your opinions about things. That's all you give up. But yet a tree seems to appear and turn into a beautiful tree as it grows. So will you appear. Yet you will know you're not the appearance. You will know that you are totally free. And you are omnipresent, all-pervading. The whole universe is taking place inside of yourself. And if you're in no self, there's no universe. You are beyond the no self. where there's a no-no self. You're beyond the no-no self. Where there are no words to describe it. Yet it's so beautiful, so blissful, so joyous. If you have had a taste of it, you'll never return. You never want to go back to humanhood. This is why there have been many have been touched slightly by this realization. They've been touched by truth. And they can remember there's something there, even though they're back to their human self, so it appears. They never forget that touch. And these people are the ones who strive forward to go all the way into realization. What does it mean to go all the way? It means to look at your life as a picture show. All of the experiences are imaged on the screen. It means not to regulate your life at all in any way, but to observe it and watch it. To look at it intelligently. To see the emotions that come into your mind. To observe the fears, the arrogance, and not to do anything about them. But to look at them, look through them, and become free of them. Only by looking through them can you become free of them. Think of an emotion that you have that bothers you. Perhaps you have a bad temper, a fearful disposition, whatever. First you have to see it. Then you dive deep, deep within it. And it will totally, completely disappear. It will never bother you again. When you try to change things, it will appear to be fine for a while. Then you will find yourself in the same position you were before. Different people, different places. You don't want to change anything. You want to be still and look. As you become still and look, what you're looking at will look back at you. As you look at the world without interpretation, as you look at the world without attachment, what the world is will be revealed to you. The world will be revealed to you as no thing, as an image on the screen of consciousness. You will become radiantly happy for no reason whatsoever. You will find the peace that you never dreamed existed. you have to want this. You have to love this. You have to want this more than anything else in this world. When I say want it more than anything else in this world, I don't mean and I don't have it sense and I want it. I mean to feel and believe and know that you are that. And you want that to be uncovered for you by going deeper all the time, by letting go of all the things that seem to be happening in life, continuing to dive deeply within the self. You dive deeply within the self to the extent that you give up the stuff that you've been carrying around for years. There's no one who cannot awaken. Since your real self is already awake, there's nothing that can keep you back but yourself. By the self, I mean your mind, your thoughts. Your thoughts are the only thing that keeps you back. You have to look at these thoughts and not allow them to do anything to you. Not allow them to frighten you. You have to remember to practice self-inquiry. To inquire to whom do these thoughts come. To always think in your mind, there are no thoughts. All these thoughts are mirage. Remember, you use your mind to destroy your mind. You introvert the mind upon itself. When the mind is introverted upon itself, it disappears. For it never existed. But when the mind is extroverted, then you are alive and well in the world, going through all types of experiences. In school, they taught you to be extroverted. To have an outgoing personality. What has it done for you? It made us all into a bunch of idiots. Look at the world in which we're living. Things that are going on. Look at our figureheads. Government officials, state officials. These are all extroverted people. We've been told that to be introverted is to be a loner and you never get anywhere. Where do you want to get? If these people only realize that the world in which they're playing is all comic. In other words, everybody's in their right place, where they're supposed to be. There are no mistakes. So if these people do not believe they're not a body and the world does not exist, but they believe there are bodies and there's a world and there's a universe, they should accept the fact that karma is the ruler of the universe. And everything that appears to be is karmic in effect. This is why I always say there are no mistakes. For you are where you are supposed to be in accordance with the laws of karma. But do not keep thinking about getting rid of karma, for you'll have a battle on your hands. You have to grow out of this and see that karma never existed. And that nothing really exists, and so just wake up. Awaken. Yet if you want to play with karma, you will have many lifetimes, many experiences. It will never stop. It will go on and on indefinitely. Start to realize karma never existed. There are no previous lives. And you do not exist now. Do not try to analyze this or figure it out in any way. Just keep it inside of you. Wake up in the morning and say to yourself, I do not exist now. I have never existed previously. And I will never exist in the future. When your mind is calm in the morning hours when you awaken, you say something like this, you will get a beautiful, warm, good feeling. You will feel wonderful. For it relieves you of the responsibility of taking care of yourself to an extent. Yet you will still take care of yourself, but it will be completely different. You will brush your teeth, you will take a shower, you will go to work, you will eat breakfast. Yet when you feel that you do not exist, you are totally free from the reactions to the things that are going on. There's no one to react any longer. Therefore, everything that appears to be done by you will be done in a wonderful way. All the time knowing you are not the doer. I know this teaching sounds absurd to most people. Yet, this is a teaching that has been propagated by rishis, sages, since the beginning of time. This is it. This is your opportunity to awaken. Why not use it? Do not let another moment go by when you're sitting there and believing and thinking something is wrong somewhere. Everything that is happening in this world today has happened before. different times, different people, different place. All these things have happened before, previously. They've always happened in this world. This is the nature of this world. There are so many people who want a beautiful world in which to live, where there's everlasting peace and tranquility, where there's joy and abundance. Yet these things are temporary. This is another way of this world. It's interesting when you stop thinking of joy, when you stop thinking of sadness, when you stop thinking of good things and bad things. Again, something wonderful happens to you. We are no longer attached to anything. Yet in this non-attachment, you feel love and kindness, beauty and joy, in a totally different way. Why not awaken now? Will you do this for me? Wake up. Do me a favor. Stop playing these games. Most of you know when you walk out this door today, you will forget many of the things I'm talking about and you revert right back to your stuff. You will begin to think about eating dinner, going to a movie, thinking about work. And become involved in the material world once more. You have to begin to catch yourself. See when you walk out of this door and you're thinking of a bill you've got to pay. When you're thinking of a sickness you've got or somebody in your family has. When you're thinking about the promotion you're going to get tomorrow at work, catch yourself. Catch yourself. Stop yourself. Immediately say to yourself, to whom do these thoughts come? Who's thinking these thoughts? Where do they come from? I am thinking these thoughts. Who is the I? Who gave birth to the I who's thinking these thoughts? And you will feel inside that the I does not exist. It never existed. You will feel beautiful. You must keep this procedure up. The mind must be transcended. all is well. All is exceedingly well. Do we have questions and thoughts? Thank you, Scott.
Right at the middle.
Robert, for the last 6 months, my mother has been grieving and crying due to the death of my father. What can I say to her to ease the suffering? When there's a death in the family, it is difficult indeed. Yet, if we can only look beyond it, if we can only see the truth involved, nobody dies. Yet, you cannot say this to a grieving person who has no idea what you're talking about. Therefore, all you can do is love this person. If you can love this person enough, then she will feel it deep in her heart and become calm. Love is the answer, not words. When a person is going through a grieving like this, words cannot help. And we do not wish to be wise guys and say, oh, nobody died. Why are you crying? You're wasting your time. This is idiocy. This person is feeling the death terribly. We have to hug the person, love the person. And your vibrations will go into this person and make her peaceful. So do not talk too much. Do not say too many things. Just understand. Hug her. Love her. But you know the truth within yourself. Realize within yourself for her that no one was ever born and no one can ever die. Don't tell her this, she doesn't understand this. In all humility, feel this truth in your heart. And if you are sincere, she will feel this also. And have peace. Do we have any other questions you want to ask?
But you talked a number of times now, and I've read it before also, how important it is to get to the root of the heart of one's anger or pain or whatever it is that is causing one's mind to be obsessed or distracted from reality. And it makes sense, but somehow I think it's easier to talk about than to do. I was wondering if you have any instructions regarding that. And also, in a secondary level, isn't this, in a sense, talking about an ultimate kind of healing? which you sometimes discount as you talk about the importance of seeking enlightenment as opposed to ignorance.
What was the first part of the question?
Some instructions as to how to go about this, maybe in either a more systematic way or just intuitively.
To go about what?
Getting through to the root of pain or anger or whatever it is that's distracting you from seeing truth.
Okay. We were talking about this last week. When there's a hurricane, in the center of the hurricane, there is a peaceful spot. The center is peace. There's nothing happening in that center. When there is disharmony going on, anger, frustration, fear, at the center of the anger, there is peace. At the center of the fear, there is peace. If you can only dive in there long enough and dive past the external condition and dive into the peace, then you will become one with the peace and the anger will dissipate, will be gone, will disappear. Due to the fact that in reality the anger never existed. The fear never existed. Only the self exists. Consciousness. Pure awareness. And that is at the center of yourself and the condition. If you cannot get to the center this way, you have to inquire, to whom does this anger come? To whom do these feelings come? And keep still. Then something will give. So there are two ways to do it. One is to face the fear or the anger. Face it. Dive into it, see it, what it is. And go deeply into it, to the center, it will be gone, dissipate. The other way is to inquire, to whom does it come? And realize it doesn't come to anyone, it never existed, it doesn't exist now. And you're totally free. Does that make any sense?
Sure. And the other aspect was that, in a sense, aren't you talking about a kind of very important healing? And yet you discount healing in another context.
Well, if there were anybody to be healed, then I wouldn't discount it. But who's to be healed?
Yeah.
When you're talking about ego, you're talking about healing the ego. Healing comes because no one is ever sick. And if somebody's sick, you'd have a lot of work to do to heal that person, and that's ego. But when you can just keep still and not get involved in the condition, but look at the condition. Do not look at the condition as sick or well or in between. Just see the condition for what it is, nothing. Do not think you're a healer or you're healing something or somebody. Feel it is total, absolute consciousness and nothing else. Therefore, who has to be healed? And who is healing whom? There is no healing, there's no one to heal. When you look at it this way, what is supposed to happen will happen by itself. Your job is to know the truth. Everything else will take care of itself. Anyone else like to say something?
Robert, a year or two ago, I was at the place you were talking about after a long, very long fast. So my question is, why is it that when one has become skin and bones by fasting, one can be at this place, but when one starts to eat, the place disappears and one gets back into the body consciousness?
Sure. The body is not a food stuff. Food makes the body. You're made of food. Your skin, your organs, everything inside of you, your blood, is made out of food. So food is the ego. They're both synonymous. When there's no food, the ego begins to subside. As the ego subsides, the reality comes in, because the reality was always there.
Would you explain again how food is ego?
Food increases the ego, expands the ego, due to the fact that food builds cells, builds molecules, builds atoms, builds mental conditioning. Someone with a sharp mind eats good food. Eats a lot of food. When you stop eating food, your mind is not sharp any longer. This is for the material world. As the brain keeps starving itself from lack of food, it begins to dissipate. And then the mind becomes weaker, so to speak, until it disappears altogether. But if you keep on fasting, you'll just give up the body and go. So you eat again, you come back to your senses, so to speak. You become sensible.
What happened was the ability to reason and logically think left. But what came was a state of knowingness. You just knew.
That's what I'm referring. The reality has been coming to you in that state. The truth has been expressing itself in that state. But as soon as you eat again, you return to what you were, George, the human being. And everything else goes into abeyance. This is why many spiritual sages like Jesus and Buddha and many others have fasted to have a taste of the reality.
Some other methods, Robert, of diminishing the mind. This is partly this fellow's question here. What are some other methods? Okay, fasting is one way to diminish the mind. I suppose repeating a phrase like "I love God" a million times would do it too. Right? Do you have any
not answers? Necessarily. The best way, of course, is to ask yourself, who has a mind? Where did this mind come from that you're trying to diminish? That would be the best one, I should think. As long as you believe you have a mind, then you have to do a lot of work to make it disappear. So gently see yourself as mindless by inquiring, to whom does the mind come? Or just by looking at yourself objectively, seeing yourself as what you are, no mind. Today is Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you. There's a Divine Mother who is the mother of us all, and that Divine Mother is the Self. You are that. So happy Mother's Day. What's that thing? Whose birthday?
Buddha.
Buddha.
Buddha to you, happy birthday.
And happy birthday, Buddha.
Buddha Ji.
He's old.
He's getting old. Yes. That's nice. Mary, I haven't read the ending in a long time.
Oh.
You still have time?
All right, yes, I think.
So we're all our own mother.
Of course. It's how close your mother, you know what you're talking about.
What they mean?
But it's even worse than that, where everybody else is mother too.
Sure.
You should have said that.
Okay, Mother, I won't.
We have any prasad? Tony isn't here with the prasad. I have to get a hold of him.
Look, you must have a mother.
He took the prasad to his mother.
Here we are, prasadless. That's
okay. So, remember that all is well, exceedingly well. There are no mistakes. None have been made, none are being made, none will ever be made. You are in your right place, going through the experiences you're supposed to be going through. Do not be angry at anyone. Look to yourself. Love yourself. Pray to yourself. Bow to yourself. Worship yourself, for what you call God dwells in you as you. Peace. Until we meet again, have a great Mama's Day. Enjoy yourself. Finish.